Welcome to the Switch Leader Podcast, where we decide today the leader we will be tomorrow.
Hey team, welcome back for another episode of the Switch Leader Podcast. My name is Josh Baldwin, and today we're having a really special conversation. As you can see in the title, we're talking about Switch Fights Human Trafficking. Now, this is something that we've done for several years, had a lot of success with this, raising money for the fight against human trafficking. And it's not just about raising money, though. It's also about bringing awareness around this problem that is worldwide. This is not just a problem happening in other countries. This is a problem happening right here in the United States. It's all over the place. And it's something that we need a lot of people to be able to come together to make a significant difference. And we want our students to be aware of things that they could do to make a difference in the world. And so today I'm having a conversation with a special guest. His name is Benny Stevenson. Benny, thanks for hanging out with us today.
I'm so grateful for this opportunity. Thank you, Josh.
Absolutely. So Benny is actually a Switch leader. If you would take just a moment and share with us, where are you serving and what capacity are you serving? Allow us to get to know you a little bit.
Yeah, about five-ish years ago when Life Church came to Springfield, I was there at the beginning. Didn't really get to serve a whole lot until these last couple of years and switch as a life group leader or a group leader. And then I also have a life right. group that I help lead. And then lastly, for the last few years, I've been on the prayer team at Life Church.
Very cool. Very cool. And if you would as well, I think this brings some important context. Would you share with us kind of like what you do for a living?
All right. Yeah. My day job is a child abuse investigator, as well as basically all persons crimes. And so I work in a small department in Republic, Missouri, which is real near Springfield, and homicide investigations to domestic assaults. But I think most of my time is in the child sex abuse realm as far as just working those cases every day.
Right. So as we were talking on the phone the other day, I was telling you, man, it takes a special person to be able to handle the types of things that you have to handle. And because it's something I know, like I personally would not be able to do, because I just cannot imagine the things you've seen and the challenges that that brings. But I also recognize that there are things that we're called to that we go, man, I am burdened for this and yes. I want to help people. And so for you, clearly, you would have to be called to this, to be willing to wake up every day and continue to see the things you're seeing and take on the things you're taking on and just keep going. Is that fair?
It is very fair. God's grace covers us wherever he puts us, for sure.
100%. And so I love that not only is that what you do as your day job, but it leads us right into the conversation we're going to have today, which is, again, about human trafficking. And what makes Benny such a great guest today is he's also serving with an organization to be able to step into this realm, into this conversation, and make a difference around the world on the topic of human trafficking. And so it's something, he's doing it in a way that many of us would go, hey man, like I've been prayerful, like I've been praying hard for this, which is really, really important. Prayer is powerful. We talk about raising money, which is really important. It takes funds to support organizations that are making a difference here. So these things are really, really important. But I would say that there's very few of us that are going, hey, I actually would be willing to travel around the world to put myself in some really shady positions to be able to help somebody. And that is the kind of thing that Benny is finding himself doing. And so I'm interested to hear some of your personal experiences and some of your insight into this field. So the first thing, if you'd share with us, what's the name of the organization that you're serving with?
Exodus Road.
Go ahead. Tell us a little bit about Exodus Road.
So Exodus Road, back in about 2010, there's a couple, Matt and Laura Parker, that they were missionaries to Thailand, and they were the directors of a child home in North Thailand. They saw the need in the exploitation of children in their capacity where they were at, and it led him to start doing investigative work for the police to go undercover and to gather evidence so that they could, in effect, rescue these impoverished people in the red light districts of Thailand. And so what that ended up doing was it just got bigger and bigger and bigger to the point where he had teams of people doing the same things that he was doing. And then ultimately they started putting teams of locals in, as of right now, 5 different countries in India, Thailand, Philippines, Latin America, and in Brazil. And they have locals doing that same work all year long. And then we still have a team of Western operatives that's called the Delta team. And we come in for short, almost like mission trips, but typically 2-week trips or quick response trips when they need somebody right away for 4 or 5 days to come do certain investigations. But then we still, as a secondary force, will come in and gather evidence, get intel, and assist law enforcement in arresting traffickers, rescuing victims. And essentially what is really awesome about Exodus Road is that they're really focused on taking down the organizations behind the trafficking. So not just the trafficker, but the brothel, and then not just the brothel, but right. the organized crime unit that has many brothels under their control.
Okay. So the people that kind of that started this had a huge burden on their hearts for what they were witnessing. And they jumped right in and went, okay, I'm going to assist police. Like that was kind of how it began then, yes. right? The people yes. that started this were like, I'm going to get my hands dirty and get involved here. It's crazy. I know that we're just coming out of a switch series where we're challenging students to go, what can you actually do? Like how do you actually take action on your faith? And this is what it looks like sometimes is going, hey, this is not easy. Like living out the call that Christ has put on your life is going to be a significant challenge to do it, oftentimes to do it in the way he's asked you to do. And it will right. come at a cost. Like it's yes. going to cost you something. And if it doesn't cost you something, can you call it a sacrifice, right? Like, no, like it's, right. this is significant. My next question for you was going to be to ask like how you're serving, you know, in what capacity you're serving. You kind of answered that. If I'm understanding right, your boots on the ground, like when you're serving with this organization, you're actually going to the physical location, helping with an investigation, similar probably to what you do for a living, right? Like you're investigating crime and trying to figure out what's going on, where are people, and how do we help them? And then also how do we pin these other guys against the wall? Like how do we figure out how to get them?
Right. It's a little bit different. It is the same in some respects, like the report writing and being able to make cases to give to the police is very similar to what I do at home. But the biggest difference is that I don't get to go undercover at home, not yet at least, because I got future goals and plans.
Yeah.
But to go undercover, and so as soon as you step in the airport on a trip to go, you're essentially a different person. You're playing the role. And so when we get there, we're playing the role of an adult seeking a child, essentially. Right. And we're living it out in a way. And of course, we have lots of boundaries because we're never going to victimize the victim. Very, very upright organization. And we go to the red light districts and we're wearing cameras and yeah, just getting as much evidence as we can and intel as we can. And then giving that package to police. And a lot of times it will take more than one trip. It might take multiple trips to get that one rescue. And so that's something that is, I don't know, it's hard to grasp your mind around.
Right. Yeah. And it's probably more than you could explain in this single conversation, if we're honest.
Yes.
All right. So I'd love to know. And like I said, it takes a special kind of person, right? To be able to do this, for even mentally to be able to handle what it is that you're involving yourself in. What led you to the decision to begin serving, you know, kind of your community and other communities and this people group in this way?
Well, it was about 16 years ago that I went through a divorce. And at the time, I lived for my wife. At the time, I was doing everything that I possibly knew I could do to be able to make it work. And it didn't work. And essentially, I was like, God, now I can do anything you want me to do. I have a clean slate. What do you want me to do? And the next question that came to my mind is, well, if I'm on the good side, we're fighting against evil, what is the biggest evil that's out there? And the first thing that came to my mind was trafficking. And yeah. So from there, it just started a journey of, all right, now what's next? And I was super green at the time. I wasn't in policing. I didn't know what weed was or domestic assaults. I thought that had to do with animals on the farm, you know, domestic or dogs or whatever. Like, I didn't know a whole lot of anything at the time. And so I started just diving into the books and to the nonprofit organizations. And then I thought I needed to be in special forces. So I started, you know, I signed up for the military and it just didn't work out. And then that's what led me to policing. And then God's continued to grow me through my experiences and through some, like what we talked about earlier, some wilderness seasons to really get me to that next level and then the next level, and the next level to where I'm at now. And I know even where I'm at now is I'm excited to go to that next level of what he's got for me in this field of anti-trafficking.
I was telling Benny before the call, there are so many things that I'm confident God tried to teach me before the wilderness. And I was like, nah, I'm too busy with this other stuff. And he was like, okay, no worries. I'll slow you down. And we're going to learn some things. And I just think it's interesting how many of the lessons we learn in life can only be learned in the wilderness. That's just all that it comes down to. You often can't learn them when it's smooth sailing and things are going great. It takes the wilderness. It takes things being slowed down, life looking different. You maybe having things feel like they've been flipped upside down for us to finally get to start to click and go, okay, I'm going to try your way. Like, I'm going to try your path. You've got my attention. And so I love that you had the willingness to go, you've got my attention. What do you want me to do? What am I supposed to do now? I'm all ears. I'll do whatever you want, because you just described some of the things that you tried and you're like, okay, is it this? There, none of them were easy things. You didn't try easy things. So love your heart. Love getting to hear a little of your story. I know that you've been doing this for a while. I'd love to hear if there's a story that you could share as you've served with Exodus Road that would maybe help paint the picture for what it is that you do, but also like what's being done for people around the world. Like, is there something that would help us look and go, hey, it's working. Like, we're doing this. This can be done. It's not going to be easy, but we can do this.
Yes. And so there's a couple parts to that question that I really want to draw out is what has been done and what I'm seeing even from my very first trip with Exodus Road till now. And so I've gone to the same place in Thailand multiple times now. And the very first trip, there were multiple, essentially teenage girls and boys that were being sold for commercial sex acts. And we mostly spend most of our time in the red light districts of where we go in Thailand. And from my very first trip until my second and third trips, you can tell that there is a difference. It's harder to find when we're going back to these same places because of the work that not just we have done, but other organizations have done, like A21 that Life Church supports. It's that awareness.
Right.
And then the other organizations in the intervention space that they're making a difference. And even on my last trip, to just explain it a little bit more, is that we, part of our team, went to another neighboring country and they identified over 100 minors that they saw on a very short trip. And that's horrendous to think about, but that's exactly that's where we were at as an organization in Thailand, where we primarily operate. And so to see that there is a difference being made by the work that we're doing, and it's a really good thing. But as far as stories, I have three really short stories just to kind of paint a picture. The first one is last year we went and we're operating in the red light districts. And we got word, our team got word, and there's usually a half dozen team members that we're all working together, but we're split up in teams of two or three. And then we'll go out and either investigate leads that we're following up on, or we might just see who we feel is a teenager under the age of 18 is primarily who we're trying to find. And so we got a tip that this particular 16-year-old was being sold by her aunt. And this aunt, she worked at one of the major or a larger bar. And she had a little pop-up shop right in between two larger bars. And so our team came in and we were able to establish contact with the 16-year-old and other family members. And then that started the investigation. And then it was over a period of, I want to say, 3 or 4 different investigations that we eventually were able to rescue her out of that situation. And we found out that it would have been her first time that she was ever sold. And so the beauty of that is that our team got the tip. She didn't have to go down that road into that life. The aunt got arrested. And there's also aftercare programs within Exodus Road. So I don't know if this particular 16-year-old was able to go to the aftercare program, but there's all kinds of contingencies set up in place for all the victims that are rescued. So that's one small story that I got to be a part of. The other one is another example is that in Latin America this last year, there was a chance to go on a trip and to do essentially what's called a party operation. And if anybody's seen Sound of Freedom, they have what looked like a party operation in that movie. And so it's very similar. And this one, we didn't end up having to go when it was all said and done. And we were able to do like a cyber investigation just by staying in the States. And ultimately, it was the last piece of evidence that was needed to take down 5 traffickers that were they were known as, the one guy and then his 4 lieutenants, they were known as the top traffickers in that particular city in Latin America.
Wow.
That was a city of over 700,000 people. And so we were working with the government of that country to get them arrested. And so that's another example of what our team has done. And then I got to have a small part to play in that. And then lastly, this last trip, we were able to gather some intel while we're in the red light districts to be able to give intelligence to the police that they never had before, get it on video, and then really just push the case forward to be able to take down one of those organized crime syndicates that are they're making multi-millions of dollars on trafficking these girls. And we're just one step closer. And I got to be a part of that this last trip just by sitting down, playing the role, getting it on camera, and getting the information that police needed to be able to move forward with the case. So
absolutely incredible. When I hear some of the stories, like when I hear the story about the aunt, and I know that there's many people listening, you're the same way. Like you almost can't fathom, like you can't wrap your head around how that's happening. Like how does the person get in that headspace that you're selling your niece, right? And I just, it's so devastatingly heartbreaking. And I hope that everybody listening, right? I hope that it breaks your heart. Like we want it to break your heart. And like we want our heart to break for what breaks Christ's heart. And we know that this breaks his heart. And so our hope is that it stirs people to action. And there could be some listening who you have different resources than the person next to you. Like we all have something different to offer. And so I hope that everybody kind of thinks that through and goes, what do I have to offer that's different than the next person? What is it that God has put in me, or what is the position God has put me in that uniquely qualifies or prepares me to be able to make a difference in this way? And Benny, what I love is that you have taken what God has given you, which is not just a passion, but it's training through your job. It's just something that you're absolutely prepared for in a way that most aren't. Like I couldn't just step in and do what you're doing. I wouldn't be helpful, right? In an investigation, it's just not an area I could support. And you're going, well, it's an area I can. Like I'm equipped for this. And
by God's
this
grace.
Is how I'm going to make a difference. I love that.
Yes.
I wanted to share also before we wrap up, I wanted to share a few different things that hopefully you've heard before, but for anybody that hasn't, maybe you're kind of asking some questions. What are some common types of human trafficking? Well, there's different types, many different types, and Benny alluded to that, but forced labor is one of them. Sex trafficking that is probably the one that's most popularly known about. There's forced marriage, there's domestic servitude, there's child soldiers, right? So there's so many different ways that people are trafficked as items. You know, they're just trafficked as if they aren't people and they're just something to be sold. And so if you can think of something that a person could do for another person or be used for, people are trafficked for that, like any way that a person could be used. And then primary causes, the probably the most simple way, and Benny, correct me if I'm wrong on this, probably the most basic, simple way to describe it is vulnerability, right? Yes. Like the vulnerable population. Is that right?
That's right on the money, yes.
Yeah, so like if you're vulnerable, some of the ways that I've found that you would be vulnerable, psychologically or emotionally vulnerable, right? So people in different positions mentally, or somebody that just is in a bad spot, right? And when you find yourself in a bad spot, it's easy to go, I just need some help. So anybody that's offering a hand, I'll jump out and take the help. Economic hardship, like I need the money, like I need help financially. Lack of social safety net. Man, like if you don't have people around you, it's real easy for you to get picked away. Natural disasters, it's crazy for me to think about that. It's just not something I think about when I see a natural disaster happening to think, oh, somebody's going to take advantage of this situation. But there are people that take advantage of that situation, take advantage of the people that have already had their lives flipped upside down. And so now somebody's coming in and going, well, I'm going to make it worse. And then political instability is another significant one. So those are kind of some common types of human trafficking, and then different primary causes. And then here's two different statistics that stood out to me. I did pull these from the A21 website. As many of you know, A21 Campaign is Christine Kane's organization that her and her husband started, and one of the organizations we love to support and partner with. Our church has a great relationship with Christine Kane. A couple of the stats I pulled is human trafficking generates an average of $150 billion per year. $150 billion. These are estimates. What that means in an estimate, the number could be higher, right? So on average, though, $150 billion per year, and that there are an estimated 49.6 million people enslaved right now. Again, that's an estimate. I looked at some other sites that had a much higher estimated number. So right. 49.6 million, though. Just can you even imagine what we told our students over the last couple of years that has been one of the bigger shock factors for them? Is that right now, there are more people enslaved than there has ever been in any time in history. And it's hard to think about. When you first hear that, you're like, wait, that can't be true. Surely not. Not in 2024. Like, there can't be more people enslaved right now than any time in history. But that is, in fact, the truth. There are more people enslaved right now than in any time in history. How incredibly heartbreaking that there's people living that as their life right now. And so when you're thinking about, hey, where is there a great evil happening? You found it. It's right here. Right. There's lots of them, but this is a great evil happening. And Benny mentioned that earlier when he was talking to God, going, what's the greatest evil? Like, where is some of the greatest evil happening? How can I make a difference? And this is what God led him to. And man, couldn't be more spoken truth than that. This is a great evil. And there's a great deal of work needing to be done. And it's not just a fight against these organizations. It's also to fight for people who need you right. to fight for them.
Yes.
And again, this breaks the heart of Christ. It needs to break our hearts. And we just need to do everything that we can to love and support. And so you find out in your specific individual way, how do you make a difference? What does it look like for you? It could look as significant, as radical, as hands-on as Benny's way is, which is boots on the ground. I'm going there and making that kind of difference. It could be financial. It could be that you're going to stretch yourself financially and you're going to go, I'm going to make a big impact, a big donation, because I want to make a difference and I want to support these organizations. That may be your way, and it could be sacrificial and you could feel it. It could be that you go, I don't have a lot to give, but I have a lot of prayer, and I promise to pray about this every single day. Yes. I'm going to bring this to Christ and understand that prayer is incredibly powerful. There's no weapon you have more powerful than prayer. And so I'm not just going to pray about it once. I'm not just going to pray about it once a week, but every day I'm going to commit this to prayer. And so what does it look like for each of you? Benny, as we wrap this episode up, is there anything on your heart or anything that you would like to share? There's switch leaders listening at every location of our church. Is there anything that you'd like to share with them as we wrap up?
Yeah, I think one last thing is the biggest thing I've learned is it kind of goes direct with our kids that we serve at Switch, is that one of the biggest lessons is not everybody wants to be saved right now. And that's one of the hard things about trafficking victims is a lot of times when we go to these red light districts, you look out and you're like, well, they don't look like they want to be saved. And that's the same thing that happens in our switch groups or these kids that come to switch. And sometimes they're difficult to deal with and they don't respond to logic. And I think for me, the biggest lesson is it's still the same. I still do the same thing. I still put on, like Colossians 3 says, I still put on compassion, kindness, gentleness, humility, and patience. And I still put on those clothes every single day. And especially when I go to switch and I'm having that difficult seventh grader that just won't listen at all, he might not want to be saved right now, but I'm going to still be patient. I'm going to still be kind to him and I'm going to see it through. And God's going to do the work. And it's not necessarily up to us, but what he's called us to do is to continue to do the work and put on those clothes and put on the armor of God and to continue to just trust that he will make the change and he will make the difference.
Absolutely. Continue to do the work, put on the armor of God and continue to do the work. I love that. Yes. Benny didn't just show up and do this episode today, but he did it with a cold. He did it while he was sick. Yes. I was like, hey man, if you can't do it, I understand. And he was like, no, it's happening. We're doing this. So, hey man, thank you so much for taking the time to do this. Thank you for everything you're doing. Thank you for what you're doing in your day job. And thank you for what you're doing in, you know, your ministry outside of that day job. And so thank you for stepping into your calling. And thank you all so much for listening. Thanks for taking the time to make the podcast important so that you can prepare for what's coming this coming week. Get your heart in the right place, get your mind in the right place, and help your students to do the same. Don't try to avoid the pain or the hurt or the burden that you will feel going into this week. Feel it. Feel every bit of it. Allow your heart and mind and spirit to feel it because you need to feel it to be able to connect with what's happening here and hopefully to connect with what it is that God's asking you to do. We love y'all. We appreciate you so much. Thank you for joining us on the Switch Leader Podcast, where we decide today the leader we will be tomorrow.